Welcome to the Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Trucking Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Trucking, Avery Weiss. As Avery presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading the PDF or PowerPoint of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF and PowerPoint is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads for the Trucking Market Update, as well as the weekly Rail Market Update with Todd Tronowski and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Welcome to FTR's weekly Trucking Market Update. I'm Avery Weiss, Vice President of Trucking. This is episode 228 for the week of August 28th, 2023. Before we start, a reminder, you can download a PDF with graphics related to this discussion at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. A reminder before we start that in just 2 weeks, we will host the FTR Transportation Conference scheduled for September 11th through 14th in Indianapolis. Among other things, we will have a full day of content just on truck freight, another full day on truck equipment, and if you're a real glutton for punishment, a day on rail freight and a day on rail equipment. You'll find more information at ftrconference.com. Hope to see you there. Before we get into the usual indicators, let's talk about some other data, starting with trucking industry revenues for the first quarter, and it's rather unimpressive, to put it mildly. Now, the good news is that revenues were 4.1% higher than they were in the first quarter. The bad news is this data is not seasonally adjusted, and an increase of about 4% is the second weakest quarter-over-quarter performance for a second quarter in the history of the data, which goes back to 2009. Now, you probably have guessed what the worst performance for a second quarter is, but in case you've forgotten, that would be the second quarter of 2020, which saw revenues fall 7.9%. Arguably, a better way to assess the strength or weakness of trucking company revenues is the year-over-year change. Revenues were down more than 11% year-over-year in the second quarter, and that's larger than the 10.5% year-over-year drop that was recorded in the second quarter of 2020. After that, the year-over-year comparisons are much closer. The number three is actually just a 3.5% year-over-year decline that occurred in the fourth quarter of 2015. So to sum up, second quarter 2023, not a good quarter for the trucking industry in terms of revenue. Things weren't much better for couriers and messengers, or what we call parcel and local delivery. Revenues declined 2.8% quarter over quarter. Now, 2.8% might not sound that bad, but parcel and local delivery had never seen a quarter over quarter decrease at all in the second quarter previously. A more striking example of the industry's weakness is that Q2 revenues were down 6.4% year over year. That is the largest and second consecutive year-over-year decrease on record for the segment, and the most recent year-over-year decrease for parcel and local delivery before the first quarter of this year had been the third quarter of 2010. Okay, moving on. Let's talk about some data from the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration's Drug and Alcohol Clearinghouse. Clearinghouse offers a wealth of insights, including a sense of the level of driver hiring. That's because most motor carriers must conduct a pre-employment query every time they try to hire a driver who must hold a commercial driver's license. Therefore, the level of queries offers clues regarding the level of hiring, although we must point out that hiring could be either to add a driver or replace a driver, which of course is what they're doing in many cases. Still, the level of hiring is an indicator of market strength for larger carriers, i.e. those carriers that are not self-employed, which most one and probably two and even three truck operations are. Pre-employment queries fell in July 5.6% month over month to the lowest level since April. They were, however, up 2.6% year over year. In June, queries had been slightly lower than the year earlier level, and that's the first time that had happened since the clearinghouse launched in January of 2020. Although queries have declined in the past 2 months, the average for 2023 year to date is still higher than it was during the same periods last year and in 2021. The other information we glean from the clearinghouse that is useful in determining market dynamics as opposed to, you know, how scary things are on the road is how many drivers have been pushed out of the industry. As of August 1st, more than 201,000 drivers had been flagged with at least one violation since the clearinghouse launched. Of those, more than 142,000, or about 71%, still have not returned to duty. So that 142,000 is really the more important one in terms of capacity, because it's how many that are gone from the industry as of now. Now, theoretically, some of those could come back and complete the return to duty, but the reality is that the number of drivers who are barred from operating as drivers does go up every single month. So while some of those may return, we can basically be sure that in any given month, there will be more absent from the driving force than there were the month before. Okay, let's get to the usual data. We'll start with diesel prices. I thought perhaps that when diesel prices increased by barely more than a penny in the previous week, we might have seen the end of diesel price increases. Not so much. The national average price of diesel rose 8.6 cents during the week ended August 28th to $4.475 a gallon. That's the highest price since late January. Prices have now surged 67 cents in the past 6 weeks. Prices were up in all regions, ranging from as little as 2 cents in New England to just under 18 cents on the West Coast, excluding California. Meanwhile, crude prices are basically stable at around $80 a barrel. And now let's talk about the spot market for truck freight during the week ended August 25th, which is week 34 of the year. Broker-posted rates in the truck stop system rose for only the second time in 13 weeks, although the gain was barely more than half a cent. Refrigerated and dry van spot rates increased week over week, but rates for flatbed equipment were down for the 11th time in the past 13 weeks. Spot volume saw its strongest growth since January in a week that was not distorted by either a post-holiday rebound, such as in Memorial Day or 4th of July, or the weeks after them, or the international road check inspection event back in May. The total broker posted rate ticked up 6/10 of a cent after declining just over a penny in the prior week. Rates were about 12% below the same week last year and nearly 5% below the five-year average. That year-over-year comparison is the least negative since November. While rates are weaker than the five-year average, they are basically moving directionally in line with seasonal expectations. Dry van spot rates moved up more than 1 cent after easing about a cent during the prior week. Dry van rates were just over 10% below the same week last year, and that's the least negative year-over-year comparison since July of last year, and more than 9% below the five-year average. Refrigerated spot rates increased nearly 5 cents after rising more than 7 cents in the prior week. Those rates are about 4% below the same week last year, which is the least negative comparison since April of 2022, and about 3% below the five-year average. And flatbed rates fell about 3 cents, which is slightly less than the decrease during each of the most recent 2 weeks. Rates were 16% below the same week last year, and that's the least negative comparison since February, and they were about 4% below the five-year average. Let's talk about volume. Total load activity rose more than 10% after holding basically flat during the prior week. Volume was nearly 19% below the same week last year, more than 23% below the five-year average. The year-over-year comparison, by the way, was the least negative since July of last year. Let's look at volume by segments. Dry van loads rose more than 9%. That's the strongest gain since June, after ticking up just 0.2% in the prior week. Volume was nearly 10% below the same week last year, and that's the least negative comparison since July of last year. And they were nearly 19% below the five-year average. Refrigerated loads rose 7.3%, and that was after increasing basically the same percentage during the prior week. Volume was 11% below the same week last year, about 16% below the five-year average. And finally, flatbed loads jumped about 15% after declining more than 2% in the prior week. Volume was nearly 29% below the same week last year, and that is the least negative comparison since July of last year. Volume was also about 35% below the five-year average. Let's wrap up the weekly data this week with a look at mortgage rates, which are now at their highest level since June 2001. In the latest week, the average rate on a 30-year fixed rate mortgage rose to 7.23%, according to Freddie Mac. So that's not good news for the housing market, of course, although high mortgage rates aren't hurting the market as uniformly as you might think. Home sales moved in different directions in July, depending on whether they were new or existing homes, and we've seen that as a very common dynamic in recent months. Let's start with sales of existing homes, which fell just under 2% month over month, seasonally adjusted, and were more than 16% below the July 2022 level. Existing home sales have declined for 5 straight months and for 17 of the past 18 months. The annualized rate of 3.65 million existing homes sold is the lowest since January, which had seen the lowest sales rate since 2010. Sales of new homes, however, rose 4.4% in July and are up nearly 32% year over year. The 714,000 annualized new home sales were the highest since February of last year. Even as mortgage rates have moved higher, sales of new homes have risen in 8 of the past 10 months. Supply continues to be a key difference between new and existing homes. Although the inventory of existing homes in the market relative to the sales rate is almost at its highest level since the beginning of the pandemic, the 3.2 months of supply is quite a bit below the pre-pandemic norm. Conversely, rising new home sales have brought down inventories relative to sales over the past year, but the 7.3 months of supply is still well above the norm between the Great Recession and the pandemic. Therefore, availability is actually helping new home sales. Even putting aside financing costs, i.e. mortgage rates, affordability is still challenging for both new and existing homes. The median price of an existing home sold eased to $412,300 in July, but the median otherwise was the highest since the record $420,900 set back in June of last year. The median price of a new home sold in July rose 4.8% to $436,700, which is the highest since March. Let's wrap up this week by discussing demand in the manufacturing sector. As it often does, the aircraft industry distorted Census Bureau figures on new orders for durable manufactured goods. Total new orders fell 5.2% seasonally adjusted for the largest drop since the lockdown month of April 2020. However, a 44% drop in new orders for civilian aircraft and almost 11% decrease in new orders for defense aircraft more than fully accounted for the decrease. If we exclude transportation equipment, new orders for durable manufactured goods actually increased 0.5%, although that followed a modest downward revision of the initial June estimate, resulting in a number where July is basically the same as what the preliminary June figure was. New orders for core capital goods, those are non-defense capital goods, excluding aircraft, were barely above flat, ticking up just 0.1% after a downward revision of the preliminary June estimate. Core capital goods orders in July were 0.6% below the Census Bureau's initial estimate for June. The Census Bureau data on manufacturing orders does not take into account pricing. Adjusting for the producer price index for private capital equipment, new orders for core capital goods were down 0.2% in July. Nominal core capital goods orders in July were up almost 1% year over year, but adjusted for inflation, they were down 3.2%. Okay, let's recap some key takeaways for the week. The trucking and parcel and local delivery industries posted weak revenues in the second quarter, CDL hiring activity declined in July, but remained surprisingly strong given freight conditions. Diesel prices rose again in the latest week. Total spot rates rose for only the second time in 13 weeks. Mortgage rates are now the highest since June of 2001. Sales of new homes rose in July. Sales of existing homes fell for the fifth straight month. And durable goods orders fell sharply due solely to the aircraft industry. Next week, we will dig into the labor market with a look at job openings for July and at the labor situation for August. That includes payroll employment in trucking. We will also discuss consumer spending and retail inventories. Plus, we will recap diesel prices in the spot market for truck freight as usual. That's it for FTR's Trucking Market Update, episode 228 for the week of August 28th, 2023. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we hope you will join us next week.
That's it for this week's Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF and PowerPoint of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and railcar. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.